wanted to start off tonight by thanking the elders for this opportunity. It's quite a privilege and an honor. I'd like to add my welcome to the visitors that we have. It's also an honor to have you here with us. I'd like to extend a special thanks to my family who's here and my friends for coming out to support me. It's quite a blessing to have you in my life, and it's a wonderful thing to see my biological family with my Christian family. So thank you. By a show of hands, how many people in the audience, when you were kids, were at some point afraid of the dark? Now, be honest, how many of you that are adults now can still be afraid of the dark? That's quite a natural thing, because darkness can truly be terrifying. And God knows this too. In fact, against the Egyptians, the second to last plague that he used was utter darkness. And I'd argue that the plagues intensified in their severity level, and so the fact that he used that as a plague should mean something to us. The world in which we live today, according to Ephesians, is called this present darkness. But the great news is that God gave us a great light through his Son Jesus. And tonight, I'd like to explore the concept of Jesus as the light of the world, how not all lights can appear as they seem, and finally, how can we shine as lights as we're commanded to? The concept of light, lamp, or darkness is mentioned in about 20 of 27 New Testament letters. It's also found throughout the Old Testament scripture. Specifically, the word used for light is in the top 2 percentile of word frequency in the entire scripture. And when you take out conjunctions, prepositions, and articles, it's in the top 1%. So there's no denying that the concept of light is important to God, and I think it should also be important to us. And what I love about light and darkness is it's a pretty straightforward concept. Anyone of any age can understand the concept of light and darkness. But that in no way minimizes its importance. Light allows us to see, and literally, to live. Physically, sunlight gives us the ability to produce vitamins and minerals, and it also gives plants energy through photosynthesis and can be a form of food that we desperately need. It's been medically observed that when people don't get light, they actually can experience symptoms of depression and other negative symptoms. And so that's why, as we're gearing up for the winter that's about to come upon us, a lot of people go to Florida to get some warm weather and some light. In this day and age, we can take for granted the ability to turn a switch and have light. It's pretty easy to do. But that's only been something that we've had the ability to do for the past 100 to 150 years. For the vast majority of human life, this wasn't so. And so here are some pictures of lamps that were used in the time of Jesus. And one source that I read said that these lamps give the equivalent at their maximum of about a 40-watt light bulb in the entire house. So it didn't give a lot of light, and it was somewhat laborious to light these as well. You see here, this is where the flax wick is, where they can light it here, and then this is the part where they'll put the olive oil in. And here's just some archaeological finds and a replica that has been made of the lamp as well. And so lamps were very important in that day and age. It took a while to light them, but when you had them, it was important and helped you to see. So the first main point I would like to talk about tonight is how we find in the scripture that Jesus is referred to as the light of the world. In the beginning chapters of 3 of the 4 Gospels, we find that Jesus, one of the first ways he's described is as a light. In Matthew, quoting Isaiah and Job in chapter 4, verse 16, reads, "The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region in shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." And in John chapter 1, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." When Jesus was transfigured before Peter and James, when he was seen talking with Moses and Elijah, he's described like this. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And we know that in Revelation, that Jesus and God are going to be the source of light in heaven. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. On his way to Damascus, Paul was struck by a blinding light where he wasn't able to see. And I wouldn't be surprised that when we pass from this life and we first see God and Jesus, that we're going to be amazed at the brilliance of his glory. So physically we see that Jesus certainly is bright and is a light, but how is he a light spiritually? Well, Jesus described himself saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." For one thing, his light enables us to see clearly, and his perfect light exposes the dark world in which we live and the sin that we might partake in. Please turn with me to John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Another way that Jesus is the light of the world that I see is that he just brings life. In John 1:4 it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And lastly, another example that I see is that by walking in his light, we are cleansed from our sin by his blood. And we find this in 1 John verses 5 through 7. I'm only going to read verse 7, which says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." So in our walk with Christ, when we're baptized, and his blood will atone for our sin, and when we live faithfully, we're going to be able to walk in his light. So these are some important characteristics of how we see that Jesus is described as the light of the world. And there's many other examples. But one thing I wanted to also talk about tonight was that Christians need to be careful that not everything that appears as a light is good. The latter part of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 says, "For even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." And the NIV replaces the word "disguises" with "masquerade." And a loose interpretation I get from that is that Satan is proud to walk around and to deceive even the elect, appearing as an angel of light. And to me, that's a really scary thought. It's scary in one way that we see that I think that Satan can walk around as an angel of light is how he tried to tempt Jesus. One of the ways that he tried to tempt Jesus was he used Scripture, and he twisted the context and the meaning to try to get Jesus to do something that Jesus knew he shouldn't. Well, the good news is that Jesus knew the Word of God, and that's something that we can do as well, and I'll talk about that in a little bit, but that can be our defense against against teachings that are false such as that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, it reads, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." If I would have read a little bit more of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, as I read earlier, we find that in that time there were false apostles of Christ. And Jesus, in a few occasions, warned us that there will be people that come before us who appear as sheep, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. And I think, again, this is another concept that we need to be careful of, is on the outside they might appear as, even as an angel of light, as Satan can, but truly they're not teaching what is scriptural, and we have to be very careful of this. And one last point on this is that, and another guise I think we need to be careful of is ourselves. I think that we need to be self-examining to see, are we really doing the right thing? Are we really representing the true light? Because we might not actually be. Jesus said, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. And that last phrase, be careful, your light in you could be a darkness, seems somewhat contradictory. But the way that I interpret that is it's not really a light at all. But to the person, to me perhaps, it might seem like a light. And that's where we have to be very careful that we're diligently seeing what actually is a representation of the light. And there's really no dim setting. There's no, when I was younger, I had a little touch lamp by my bed and I could put different settings on it. But there's no dim when you're a light. You're either dark or you're light, is how I see it in Matthew 6:22 and 23. So I think it's prudent for all of us to self-examine ourselves to see, are we really representing the true light? And that leads me to my next point, which is the longest one I'll share tonight, is how can Christians shine as lights? Jesus instructs us in Matthew 5:14-16, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So how can we shine as lights? Well, one application I see out of this is that we can share the good news of the gospel, share the true light of Jesus Christ, and not hide it. And I don't think it's any coincidence, if you look in Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8, is that we see the parable of the sower. And the last part of the parable of the sower that Jesus describes is about the good seed and how good seed makes 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Well, right after that, it talks about a lamp being shining, sharing your light. And so I see a strong correlation between spreading the good news of the gospel and being a light and increasing the kingdom as the good seed that Jesus calls us to be. And on that point, I think certainly to spread the good news, we can talk about Jesus, and I think that's important, share Jesus with others. But at the same time, just living as a Christian and emulating some of the things that we see that Christians need to be, such as kind or patient, you never know what kind of difference that will have in someone's life. And something I think of often is when I meet someone for the first time, I have no idea what has occurred to that person up to that point in time. I have no idea that day. Have they been having a really bad day and things have set them off? And what difference can it make? Just a simple hello, looking them in the eye, opening the door for them, and just being generous. You never know what kind of difference that can make. And maybe in that moment for them, or maybe down the road they'll come to you at some point. So hopefully you can take courage by that thought. But in order to share the good news of Jesus and to know about Him, we need to know who God is. And the best way to know who God is through His Word that He's given us. And I have a scripture to support that in Ephesians chapter 5, if you'd like to turn with me there, in verse 8 through 10. For at one point you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. I'd really like to focus on that last statement, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. How do we know what the Lord wants? Well, we have it right here. We have the Word of God. And if we really believe in God, which I believe we do, then this is one of the most precious gifts we could ever ask for. This is what God has given us to show us how we can live on this life and how we can get to heaven and how we can defend ourselves from the dangers that we can face. And so I think it's really important that we read this every single day. And going back to false lights, that point that I made, something that I think Satan can take advantage of in this day and age is when people don't spend time in the Word, but rather spend more time reading what others think about God. And I don't think that's a bad thing necessarily, to read what others think. In fact, I've learned a lot from reading commentaries and reading how other people feel. But we always need to be balancing that against what we understand and from what we read and the relationship that we have with God. So we see that men can twist the Scripture, as I mentioned, and that's with the Word we can protect ourselves and we can know how we can live as lights. And it's interesting that there's a very strong correlation between His Word and light. And this is probably a very familiar passage to you in the Psalms. It says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And that's just amazing imagery that I love. And so this really can defend us, and it can show us, no matter the situation we're in, it can show us how we need to act and how we need to live. And as I was looking at Scriptures this past week, as I put the lesson together, something that I've read before but I hadn't really put two and two together is from Jeremiah 23:29, where it says, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" So I've always thought that this shows that the Word of God is powerful and strong and fierce. It certainly is. But another thing is, when you think about fire is very bright. It shines, and if something's on fire, you can't really ignore it. And so that was something I thought was pretty neat to see, that it was described that way. So we can shine as lights by sharing God, who God is, and sharing Jesus, and by learning about who He is. But another thing that we can do to shine as lights is to help others. Isaiah chapter 58 describes this very well. And if you'd please turn with me there, I'll start reading in verse 7. To give a little background of that chapter, the people were going to God and saying, you know, "Why are you not hearing us when we're fasting to you?" But God tells them that they're not being heard because they're not doing it the way that they should be. And so then He goes on to give them instruction on how to fast. And so here's what I'm about to read is a continuation of that thought, on how they need to live right. "Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and He will say, 'Here I am.' If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness, and your gloom be as the noonday, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And ye shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." We see Jesus time and time again helping others who had no way of repaying Him. He healed the sick. He worked miracles to provide food for the hungry. He spent time with the poor, and He associated with the lowly. I was driving in Indianapolis just last night, and across the way at an interstate exit, I saw a homeless person. And I just thought, if this were Jesus and He lived in the day of cars, and He would probably go to that homeless person, ask who they are, and maybe ask them into the car and lead them to shelter and just help them. That's the character that Jesus had, is that He would just help anyone. And I think in the same way, for us to shine His lights, as we just read from Isaiah, we can do the same thing by helping others and caring for other people. If we want to shine as lights, another thing that we have to do is we have to cast off works of darkness. And there's a lot of scriptural examples of what those are. And one that I want to speak to is Romans chapter 13:12-14. And it reads, The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. So what I read from this is that in order to walk as light and to put off darkness, we shouldn't be drunk. We shouldn't be sexually immoral. We shouldn't be quarrelsome. We shouldn't be jealous. And we shouldn't make provision for the flesh. And there's actually a lot of other scriptures that put light and darkness and these same sins together. And for sake of time, I'm not going to read all those. But when you take a step back and think about it, it makes sense that God equates darkness with some of these sins, because if you take drinking, for example, and going to bars, you may have heard it compared this way a little bit before, but oftentimes it's dim lights, it's dark, there's loud music, there's, you know, inhibitions are lost, there's a lot of things going on that we're probably not even aware of. And it'd be interesting to think what would happen if the music stopped, the lights turned on, and what you would see. I think you would see a lot of sin, and that sin would be exposed. Well, we know that one day Jesus is going to be coming back, and it says that when He comes, He's going to appear as lightning in the sky. And He is going to expose all things. And He's going to reveal every hidden thing and every hidden choice that we make. And so I bring this point up just because it's important that if we truly want to walk in the light with Christ, we do have to self-examine the Scripture and sometimes make decisions that can be difficult in the moment, but in the end can lead to life everlasting when we're serving God as we need to be. Probably the best way to shine His lights is to emulate Jesus, the true light. And a sampling of characteristics that we see from Christ is forgiveness, love, mercy, prayer and a relationship with the Father, and kindness. And I see a lot of similarities with what we read in Galatians about the fruits of the Spirit. To shine as a light, you have to be different. Do the unexpected. Forgive those who slander you. Love and provide for others who hurt you. I know this is easier said than done, but what a powerful example that can set. We still talk about Jesus and what He did on the cross to forgive those who were hanging Him up and were beating Him. We talk about Stephen, who forgave those who were stoning him. It's really a powerful example. And we can shine like lights if we can do those same things. The last thoughts I have on this point, before I get into my closing remarks, is on the parable of Jesus that He taught on the kingdom of heaven when He used 10 virgins in the story. In this parable, 5 of the virgins were called foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 wise ones had a lamp as well as flasks of oil. The foolish ones only had the lamps. They didn't actually have the oil. And so they were waiting for the bridegroom to come in the night. They had fallen asleep. And when they heard that He was coming, the wise went out and the foolish asked for a little bit of oil. And the wise ones said no, that they needed to go get their own, and so it ended up that the foolish ones were not able to enter in. And one application I see from that in this lesson tonight is that apparently they all believed in the bridegroom. They all had lamps. But the ones with oil were actually doing what they needed to do because of that. And I think that's really important for us. It's awesome. It's great to know Jesus, to love Him, to believe in Him. But we also have to do what He says, and we have to be preparing for His coming. So those are the 3 main points I wanted to share tonight. I talked a little bit about Jesus as the light of the world, what false lights are, and how we need to be careful. And then finally, how can we shine as lights? Now, as I mentioned, the word light is used so often in the Scriptures. And so what I'd encourage you all to do is maybe take a concordance and dig in and look at what is said, because there's a lot of amazing stuff. But hopefully you found helpful the things that I've talked about tonight. And I really appreciate your attendance. And I want to thank you all again for this opportunity. As I close the lesson, if there's one thing that I wanted you to remember, it's that if you're ever in a dark place, or if you're in a dark place right now, is that Jesus can be your light. He can guide you out of any situation that you're in. And we know that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has overcome it. But we also know this life is short, and the unexpected happens. So we have to take advantage of the opportunity to know Him while we can. We're about to sing a song that's called the Invitation Song. And we call it that because it's a time where we offer for anyone in the audience to come forward if they would like to know Jesus more and to consider confessing Him as Lord, repenting of their sins, and being baptized into His name. We also offer this time for if you are a Christian, but you've maybe tangled in a sin or you've been led astray. I'm here also to tell you that Jesus, the loving shepherd, is searching for you. And He's at the door, waiting for you to come back if you choose to do so. So if you'd like to come forward, please do so at this time as we stand and sing.
I am resolved no longer